Go with us to the book of Genesis, chapter 32 this morning. The book of Genesis, chapter number 32. Boy, I thank God, preacher, for what God's done here at Ronda Baptist Tabernacle. And sure, thank God for you being here, what God's going to do. And you pray for us this morning. I have enjoyed this series of messages entitled Mountain Movers. And we spent some time there to catch some of you up. We've spent several weeks in the thought of mountain movers. And boy, our churches need some people that are mountain movers this morning. And some people that are faithful. Some people that believe. And people that hold fast to the things of God. And we started out looking at Caleb. And Caleb, preacher, I appreciate you allowing me to use you that night. God had his hand upon that for Brother Junior to be here. Caleb, in his later years, preacher, he was still willing to go for God. And through it, take nothing less the mountain. And I'll say this, even as senior adults, there's something for you to do. And there's a drive that's within your hearts. And then we looked at Rahab, the harlot. She was one that should have never done nothing for God, should have done nothing for the things of the kingdom. And I was one that by our standards should have been outcast. But boy, aren't you glad God uses the ones that we throw out? Aren't you glad that God can use the ones that nobody else wants? And boy, we even see, and we're by the wording of it, we even see that Rahab could have played a possibility in the birth of Christ, in the lineage of Christ. Boy, God can use anybody, can't He? Amen. And then this past Wednesday night, we came in and we looked at Joshua. Can I tell y'all I like the name Joshua? Amen. Can I tell you I love the name Joshua? And this morning we came to Genesis. But before I preach, I don't know if she's going to do it or not. Miss Brooklyn asked me if she could sing. And so you hold your place there in the book of Genesis. She's not going to this morning. She had told me she wanted to. And so I asked her. She said, sure. Now she's saying no. So Genesis chapter 32. Let's all stand to our feet that are able this morning. And for the reading of the reverence of the Word of God. Genesis chapter number 32. Look with us this morning in verse number 24. The Bible says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Now I want to say this to you this morning. I know you're familiar with this, and I know we've read this text before. But I'll say this to you this morning. God did not have to ask who he wrestled. But he wanted the man to tell who he was. And I'll say this to you this morning. If you're ever going to see God do anything, you got to be honest with who you are. The Bible says this, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God, and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. And my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and in the sinew that shrank. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As we take a look into the life of Jacob, boy, I find it very interesting, and I find that every name has a meaning. As we look Wednesday night at Joshua, we see that Joshua was a warrior. Brother Junior, we see that Joshua was one that would fight and one that was a leader. And as we came to Jacob, many of you know the history of Jacob and the story of Jacob. Jacob was a trickster. His name simply means to be the supplanter, but we find the life of Jacob to be much like our life. Jacob was one who was on the mountaintop one day and in the valley the next. It seemed as though he was on a spiritual roller coaster. I don't know about you this morning, but not every day is a mountaintop day for your pastor. And not every day is a shout-em day for your pastor. And Brother Kenny, these are days that I'm as low could be. But there are those days, preacher, where it seems like we're up here and everything's shouting. But I believe this morning that we ought not let our circumstances can take place of how we are in our relationship with God. Now, Jacob had did some things that sent him on a spiritual roller coaster. I don't know about you, but judging by the way Jacob had conducted his earlier life by tricking his brother Esau out of his birthright, that Jacob could have been a man of God. Not only did he trick Jacob out of his birthright, but he also went to his father on his dying bed and tricked his father into believing that he was Esau. And he stole the blessing. He took that without the knowledge of his father. He took it without the knowledge of his brother. So we could say this morning that Jacob was a thief. But I truly believe this morning that we as Christians will reap what we sow. We see that Jacob fell in love with a girl named Rachel. And he was going to work 7 years to marry her. And his father-in-law, Brother Johnny, had tricked him by giving him Leah. Boy, this displeased him. I want to say this to you. If I hadn't got her after 7 years, I don't think I would have stayed and worked anymore. He went on and he worked again because he loved her. And boy, finally, after another few years, he takes Rachel as his wife. You say, preacher, what are you getting at this? Listen to me. I don't believe in karma. I don't believe in luck. I'll say this to you this morning. I'm not lucky. I'm blessed. And I don't believe in karma, but I truly believe this morning, if you sow to the wicked things of this world, my friends, you will reap those wicked things in this day in life. I'm going to say this, listen to me, for the wages of sin is death. If we live in sin, we are bringing forth death. If we dwell in sin, we are bringing forth death. Boy, we like to use the phrase, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen to me this morning, it is not the will of God for us to live and abide in sin, for we serve a holy God and we ought to seek the holy things of God. Jacob dealt in the flesh. He was a wicked man. I don't know about you, but I believe Jacob would rob a man if he could. I believe he'd take those things that weren't rightfully his, and I believe Jacob would take those away from us. In his early life, he cheated his brother. In his early life, he cheated his father. He dwells in those thoughts, in that wickedness. But I'll say this to you in Genesis chapter number 28, Jacob has a spiritual vision in Bethel. More, aren't you glad that God spoke to you one day? Aren't you glad that on your road to sin and in your wickedness and in your thoughtfulness and your fleshiness that God spoke to you? I can still remember the day that God showed me I was dying and going to hell without a Savior and that I needed to be born again. I'm glad in my wickedness God spoke to me. And notice what happens. We see that Jacob's trouble in marriage continues. His wives don't get along. Now, I'll say this to you this morning. I don't blame them. God designed marriage to be monogamous, not polygamous. And what that means, it means to be to one person. And I'll say this to you this morning. There was trouble in his family. There was a constant battle. And Jacob would go from being on the mountainside into the valley. He'd go back up on the mountain and then he'd go back in the valley. And then we see his marriages begin to struggle. We'll see that not only that in Jacob's life, but yet his children has issues. Can I say this to you this morning? I'm finding out I love my little girl, and Brother Joe and Miss Stephanie are finding this out firsthand, and I'm sure that one day God will allow me to do it, but you can't put one child above the other. Jacob loved Joseph. It caused strife in his family. Those brothers did not care for Joseph, and boy, they threw him into a pit. They said, "We'll tell our father he's been killed, he's been destroyed." They said, "Let's just sell him in the slave trade." Can I say this to you? Jacob's life was playing out before him, in his family, in his children. And I'll say this to you this morning. Some folks, listen to me. I don't understand why some kids go the route they go, but can I say this to you? We've all got things. Listen to me. There's things that are in my past, Brother O'Dean, that I don't want little Brooklyn to know about when she gets older. And there's things, not a doubt in my mind, listen to me, that I've done as a child that she's going to do that gets back at the parents. Amen? You know what, Brother Chuck, when she don't listen to me, I can look and say, she's acting like you. I talk to her mom. When she does really good, I say, that's the Blevins coming out in her. But it's not. Listen to me. You ain't going to believe this, Brother Bill. I know I'm cute and fluffy up here this morning. David just had a heart attack. I know I seem like I'm wonderful, but can I say this to you this morning? I was terror on wheels. I could tear up an anvil with a rubber mallet, Brother Kenny. And I was short-fused and had a temper, and boy, I'd get fired up. I got a call this week from Daddy, and I got to share this because I know what was on the other side. I know what he was thinking. I'd bought a big steel commercial saw a couple years ago to cut wood, and Rusty was with me the other day, and we got talking about it, and I told Rusty when he got out of the car, we'd went somewhere. I said, Rusty, I'm going to go up the road, and I'm going to give him a hard time. Rusty said, don't do that to your daddy. I said, but I can't help but not to. And he called me, and he said, I got some bad news. And I thought, Lord, who's sick now? Who's in the hospital now? What's happened? That's just where my reaction has been. And he said, I was trying to do you a favor. And he said, I've caused a lot of trouble. And I could tell in the crackle of his voice that whatever had happened was bad because he was pretty sensitive. And I said, well, what's wrong? He said, I went down there and was trying to cut a tree for you. And he said, it was a big red oak. And he said, I had that big saw of yours. And he said, Brother Chuck, I was a cutting. And said, it was going, wah, room. And he said, it's locked up. And he said, I'm sorry. I said, what'd it do? He said, it locked up. And I could tell in the tone of his voice, he thought, Lord, he's going to be mad. He's going to be upset, Brother Chuck. I said, well, I guess we'll just have to fix it or get a new one. And I could tell on the other side that Daddy was upset that he had tore my saw up. Let me say something to you. I don't have good luck borrowing things, so I'll just go buy my own to tear up rather than borrowing yours. And I'm kind of seeing where I get that from. And I talked to Daddy, and Brother Bill, I could tell this is an expensive saw. It ain't 3 years old. I could tell he was upset. And I got riding down the road, and I got to thinking about some things, and I tried to call him. I tried to get in touch with him, and I kind of knew what had happened, but I wasn't sure. And I kept trying to call him, telling Daddy, it's okay. We can fix it. Daddy, don't beat yourself up. And so finally, I just had to go to his house because he wouldn't talk to me. And I said, it ain't your fault. He said, well, I was using it. I said, it ain't your fault. He said, well, ain't it my fault? I said, I know what happened. He said, how do you know what happened? I said, I got in a hurry and I put gas without oil in it. You said you did what? I set him up for failure. You say, what happened? I got on the internet and for $40 I've got a whole new kit coming to rebuild it. It ain't that big of a deal. Listen to me. Some of the problems in your life you made a big deal that are really not a big deal overall. If you'd have cut his leg off, that would have been a big deal. I'm not worried about a chainsaw. It can be fixed. I'm not worried about the small things. I'm not worried about a water leak. Listen to me. Some of you are so upset over what you're reaping right now that there's no sense in getting upset over it.
That's right. Amen.
Now, 10 years ago, Daddy, I'd have been upset. You say, what happened? I got fat and I'm getting old, so I don't get upset over these things. Listen, I want to say this to you this morning. Jacob had some issues. There were some things that he was doing that in his life was ruining his life. And we come into chapter number 32 this morning, and we see Jacob about to, in his mind, about to reap the consequences of his decisions. His family has told him, his herdsmen have told him, Esau is coming. And Jacob begins to flee. He knows that his sins have caught up with him. He knows what he's planted, he is reaping. He knows that it's near. And so he gets his people and begins to send them out. He doesn't want destruction to come on him. And he's on this spiritual roller coaster. Listen to me. You say, preacher, my problems are big. You just don't know how bad. Listen to me. You're probably making a mountain of an anthill. You're probably tearing yourself up over something that really don't matter. Had Jacob just went ahead and said, you know what? What I done was wrong. What I done was wicked. What I done. Listen to me. He didn't want to take the blame for what he had done. But he packs everything up and he begins to leave. And he knows Esau's coming after him. He knows his time is running out. And he runs into somebody else. Who does he run into? He runs into God. I want to say this. You can run from everything else, but you'll not get away from God. You can run from whoever you did wrong. You can run from the consequences. You can deny it, but I'll say this. You will not escape the wrath of God. You will not escape the sin that you have committed before God. Listen to me. We're all appointed to judgment. And we're going to die. We're going to stand before a holy God. And Jacob could not get away from God. And Jacob's on this spiritual roller coaster. He's got religion, might we say. He's got a thought process. But I want you to notice this morning as we've turned to there in the book of Genesis, there's some things I want to give you out of this story and I'm going to be done. I want you to focus in this morning in verse number 26. Jacob is wrestling this man. He doesn't know who he has a hold of. He doesn't know who this is. But they're in a wrestling match. They're grappling. They're pulling it all night long. This battle has been going on. And this man says, let me go for the day breaketh. Listen to me. I'm going to say this to you this morning. Some of you are wrestling with God. Some of you are fighting with God. You're rushing against God. And God is not pleased with that. But Jacob was wrestling. And he was hanging on. And he was not going to let go. But Jacob knew it was somebody bigger than he was. The Bible said that in verse number 25 that when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. Now I want you to notice this morning, Brother Paul. Brother Paul is a wrestling fan. On Monday nights, Paul tells LMA, LMA, we got to go. I heard the bell ring. Brother Paul, when I got to studying about this and I got to thinking about this, I could not help but to think of Paul Benton. Paul, they've been wrestling for quite some time. And they've been grappling and this man tells him, you're going to have to let me go. And he says, I'm not going to prevail. He says, I'm not going to be able to escape. So he simply touched the hollow of his thigh. Now, I don't know about you, but Brother Joe, I've touched my thigh many a times, but I've never took it out of socket. I've never physically popped my hip out of socket. I got to thinking about what kind of force it would take to do that. The Bible says that he just touched it. Can I say this to you this morning? If God wanted him dead, he would have been dead. If God wanted you dead, He wanted your problems to overtake you, it can happen. But He simply touched the hollow of His thigh. And undoubtedly there was great pain that Jacob felt. Now I'll say this, I wrecked the fool and I broke my pelvis. There was great pain. I've broke my arm and it was pain. I've broke fingers and it was pain. And no doubt about it, any man would have let go at the pain. But Jacob simply said this, I will not let go of thee, or I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Some of you this morning need to get a hold of this thought. And all I'm going to preach this morning is, I will not let go. I will not let go. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Some of you this morning are wrestling the problems of this life. It has hurt you emotionally. It has drained you spiritually. It has taken the very life out of you. And this morning you are wrestling with that. And all you've got to do this morning is get a hold of God and get through where God's at. Honey, I'm telling you this morning, you can run from everybody else. You can hide from everybody else. But you cannot escape God. And you've been fighting with these problems and they have overtaken you. And it seems like this morning, honey, I'm telling you that you're going down for the last count. But I'm glad to tell you this morning, I've got a hold of a King of Kings and of Lord of Lords. And honey, it may touch me. It may change me. It may bring pain to me. But honey, I'm not going to let go of Him this morning. Can I say to you this morning, Jacob's life was catching up with him. The consequences was ever before him. And here he is with God in a battle during the midst of the night. And God says, I cannot prevail against him on a fleshly sense. But he could have. All he had to do was touch him. I want to say this to you this morning. Jacob's life would be forever changed. Jacob's future would be forever changed. His name got changed in this battle. Jacob said, I will not let go of thee unless you bless me. Some of you this morning are wrestling your problems and you forgot about just how God blesses. Some of you this morning are overtook by what's around you that you forgot He's a God of goodness. And I'll say this to you this morning. I truly believe when a person runs into God, it changes who they are. Amen. I truly believe when Jacob was running from everything else and he ran into God, it changed who he was. You say, preacher, how did it change him? It changed the way he walked. It changed the way he walked. Brother O'Dean, since I had that ATV accident, my hips were broke and pulled apart, and since I've had knee surgeries and since I've broke my arms and since I've done other things that I probably knew better than to do, the way I walk and get around has changed. Can I say to you, Brother Bill, the accident you had changed the way you walked. Some of you, the life you have lived, your joints have changed your walk. And I believe as Jacob halted on that thigh, he thought back to that night and he said, God, I'm not letting go. God, I'm not giving in. God, I got a hold of you and God, I'm not going to turn loose. Listen to me this morning. Some of you say, if it don't get no better, I'm finished. Some of you are saying this morning, if it ain't getting no good, I'm going to give up on church. I'm going to give up on God. If things don't turn around, I'm getting ready to wave the towel and say, I've had all I can take. Honey, I'm just trying to come by and just trying to tell you this morning, don't let go. Just hold on. Had the blessings coming down the road. What Jacob couldn't see was coming down the road when his son Joseph was sold into slavery, that he'd be down in Egypt. Hey, he couldn't see what the future had. Honey, you can't see what's going on. Don't let go. The blessing's on its way. Jacob was a mountain mover. Why? Because he wouldn't give up. His life may have been up and down. Now y'all bear with me this morning. I've quit wearing my dress shoes when I preach, so they hurt my feet. Yeah, them are pretty, I know. But Rusty, I couldn't help but think as Jacob got up from there, he probably walked a little different. And I couldn't help but think, Brother David, you inquire sometimes. If you'd have seen me walking like this, and Wednesday night I come in and I'm walking like this, you'd probably say, what happened to you? Yep. No doubt Odin said, preacher, what in the world is going on with you? Brother Junior, you'd say, he's acting like an old man.
Yeah, that's right.
Johnny had said, Anna had all she was going to take and about broke his legs. Well, he'd say. See? But I can't help but think as Jacob began to walk through there, he wasn't walking like he once was. His steps wasn't fast. Listen to me. Your problems might change. And they might wear on you. And they might change the way you walk. But you can say this, I'll not let go of him.
That's right.
I ain't giving up on him. God, I'm going to stay in this thing. Whatever happens to me, God, whatever the outcome may be, but I'm not letting go of you because, God, you've blessed me and, God, you've changed the way I walk. Listen to me, honey. I'm telling you, your life will play a role on your body. It will change who you are. It will change who your testimony is, but don't let go because God will bless you.
Amen.
Jacob was an evil, wicked man. I said, preacher, what are you telling me? I don't understand why. Listen to me as I study this. I begin to study, and I'm studying for tonight's Mountain Mover. As I begin to look at these and look at them, I can't help but think God's put them right on time.
Right.
Every message, every person, and individual. I don't understand why some of my people in our church is going through what we're going through. I told Daddy yesterday, I said, this has been the busiest winter I've ever had pastoring. It has. And listen to me, Daddy's apologized 1,000 times. We're going to forget sometimes when you have a procedure. We're going to forget sometimes. But I've never seen our church in the situation it is with people in the hospital, with families being affected by sickness, with things I can't understand, spiritual warfare that are attacking our people. I cannot understand why it's going on. But I believe this. I just believe I won't let go. I believe I'll just hang on. I believe it might change the way we sing. I believe it might just change the way we worship. I believe it might just change the tune at Rhonda Tabernacle. But what I can tell you this morning is He's been a good God. What I can tell you this morning, He's been a holy God. And what I can tell you this morning, He's still my God. And no matter what comes, honey, I'm telling you this morning, I've got to hold her on the throne room of grace. I'm not going to let go. There's a better day on the horizon. This might be a bad day here, but there's a holy day over there. I may not walk good here, but I walk good over there. I may not be able to sing and shout down here, but pray. Praise God, I will in the courts of heaven because I'll see Him for all His glory and I'll not let go.
Amen.
While I'm here. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Brother Dan, I'm going to ask you this morning if you will come and play real softly this morning as heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Somebody here this morning just needs to get around this altar and they just say, God, I'm not letting go. God, the battle's been rough. And I don't understand why we're doing what we're doing, but I'm not going to let go. It might change my walk. It might change who I am. It might change in the direction I'm going, but God, I know there's a blessing on the horizon. I can't see it right now. You know what? Jacob couldn't see that his name was being changed to Israel. He could not see that he was going to be a leading nation in the year of 2018. He did not see that his people, his children, that God was going to use him. I challenge you this morning, don't you let go. Don't you give up. You say, preacher, the thread's awful small, honey. You just hang on. You just hang on as heads are bowed and eyes are closed and we stand to our feet. Jacob said, I'll not let go. Some of you this morning need to just sit down here, maybe on a pew, and say, God, I don't understand, but I'm not letting go. God, I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm worn. But I ain't letting go. God, because you're good.